you, David. You all are so encouraging. Almost can't exaggerate how much strength and joy and unity I get from you all. We have something to clear up, something finally I get to do while I'm thinking about it, and we can. Jesse Ellison, will you stand up, please? Oh, there he is. Heather Wiseman, would you stand up, please? These are our new brother. This is our new brother and sister. Jesse was baptized a few weeks back. He works on the slope. He took a vacation, and then he's been working up north for a while. Heather has been with us, but we haven't had her presented or announced to the congregation. And I want you all to see and know your new brother and sister in Christ, and to greet them, and to pull them into your lives and you into theirs. So just to let you know for sure, Heather and Jesse, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. You can be seated. We have some who are traveling, some who are sick this weekend. So I ended up back in the rotation to speak this morning. And as I said last week, there was so much to speak on spiritual warfare after I got into it. Every topic Scripture gives you, because it's connected to God, has an infinity to it, right? I mean, every topic has a depth and a breadth and a greatness to it. Some just are more amazing and deeper than others. We have Satan alive and well. I shouldn't say well, he's not well. He's alive and evil, but he's alive and powerful. Satan is moving. Satan is active. He has been doing this since the garden. Things have changed drastically for him. Jesus claimed his victory on the cross. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, but he rode into Jerusalem like a conquering warrior. He just did it humbly. He did it more powerfully. He didn't have Roman guards around him that marched him up the street. He didn't have throngs of Roman praising citizens king praising citizens on the side. He had the people, the average people of Jerusalem, praising him. He rode in victory, and he took victory over Satan. There's no accident about the way Jesus came into Jerusalem. He is Lord, he is King, and he is victorious on a level that we do not understand. He claimed that victory coming into Jerusalem even before he died on the cross. That sealed the victory for all time. So Satan is not victorious in our lives as long as we stay with Christ. Last week, we identified clearly by reading partly 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are in a spiritual war. And the mistake we can make is either to not care, or to put on blinders and pretend it's not there, or to not know. It's very different from a physical war. You can go back to 2 Corinthians 5 and read those verses. It's very different from a physical war, because the fight is not over ground. The fight is over souls. It isn't a physical fight. The fight is over ideas. That the weapons of war that we're dealing with will take every thought, every idea captive, because the fight is over truth and lies. The fight is over good and evil. The fight is over eternity of life or eternity of death, suffering or comfort. We are free will beings. We always can choose God never compels us. He never forces us. It's amazing. The most powerful entity ever does not even force your own choices. You're always free to choose. Satan is our enemy. He is evil. He's murdering. He's lying. He's a tempter. He's an accuser. He can look beautiful. He can look really good. He can look lovely, like an angel of light. He can look wonderful. So don't go on appearances. Go on the quality, the truth of the ideas. You see, all people are equally priceless, but not all ideas are worth anything. Not all ideas are good. Not all choices are good. We should treat all people with dignity and care, but we need to be clear about rejecting the false and the lying ideas out there. And we learn that Satan has many who fight with him, who fight alongside of him, I mean. In Daniel 10, we learned about two powerful demons that were fighting against God's angels. And that we have an active part in this war. Ephesians chapter 6 spells it out among the most clearly in the taking on of the armor of God and standing in the strength of Christ. And we ended by saying that God guarantees victory. He gives us reassurance after reassurance that as long as we never quit, as long as we never give up, we stand with Christ in victory. We have to be in Christ, and we have to never give up. I'd like us to start with James. Let's go to James chapter 4. Somebody was making a little bit of fun of me with the size of my font. Like it'd be misunderstood or something if it wasn't that big. And I create this, of course, on a computer screen, so I don't know if that looks insulting or not. Like, James 4, like you're not going to catch on. So let me know if that comes off as... It took me years of working on a computer before I realized that typing something in all caps means you're shouting it at someone. And I went, oh, I don't want to shout at anybody. But anyway, James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes quarrels? So please turn there, be with me there. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship, and here we see the clarity of this warfare, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That doesn't mean kindness to people. That doesn't mean care for your neighbor, obviously. It means accepting the self-centered, selfish, me-first, manipulative, cutting, harmful relationships of the world. Do you suppose it is of no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? He gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify you, your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. do not speak evil against your brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? We saw earlier in this passage how much the warfare is inside of ourselves. The warfare is inside of ourselves, and that's the focus of this lesson, is that there's an entire war going on of those ideas we talked about out of 2 Corinthians 5 that we take captive. Those ideas that we take captive. The basics of that is found here in James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Our most effective weapon is in looking at His word and making it happen in our hearts. That we are men and women who are aiming at, who are embracing, who are hungering for righteousness. We want what's right. We want a deeper taste of God's love. We want a deeper application of serving one another's. We want to be sacrificial in our lives. We want to get rid of all selfishness. And the other half of this is resist Satan. It's a simple formula. Submit yourselves. The fight is mostly inside of us, or much of the fight is inside of us. What do I know about what's going on around us in a spiritual warfare? But I know where my struggle is. My struggle is in with my own attitudes. My struggle is in with my own desires. That's what he warned us about. You desire. It is your own passions, verse 1, that are at war within you. My own desires, my own issues, my own self rises up in front of me every day and says, why don't you just do what you want to do, Robert? We'll get to that in another verse. Submit yourself. Robert, humble yourself. He gives grace to those who humble. Those are the ones he lifts up. Humble yourselves, verse 10, before the Lord, and he will exalt you. It doesn't work by exalting yourself. You can't lift yourself very high. It doesn't work. If you humble yourself before God, he says, now I've got somebody I can work with. He is the potter. We are the clay, right? How well can you work with a hard piece of clay, a dried out piece of clay? You can't. We have to keep ourselves soft, humble before our Father, that he can shape us and mold us and make us something really, really, really useful, that we get exalted in his kingdom, exalted for his purposes. And we resist the devil, resist Satan, and the amazing end of this verse 7 says, he flees. He flees. In Christ, he cannot defeat you. And more than he can't defeat you, when you fight against him, when you say no, he leaves you. He backs away. He cannot stand against you in Christ with God's resistance. Romans chapter 8, which is where David read for us a little while ago. Romans chapter 8. You can start in verse 6, or just look at verse 6. For the mind set on the flesh is death, But the mind set on the Spirit is life. And not just life. Not just life. But is life and peace. Verse 7. For the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Isn't that interesting? A mind set on the desires of your own self cannot become submissive to God. You have to get it off of yourself. Don't be surprised when those who are stuck in the world don't understand what submission to God or His word is. Don't be surprised by that. Don't get angry over their lack of understanding. We can get angry at things that God gets angry about, at the effects of sin, at the destruction of people's lives, at the harm being done. But don't be surprised. Have patience with that person who looks at you and says, I don't know, why would I do that? Why would I not just shack up with whoever I want to shack up with? Why would I not steal from my boss? He steals from me. These justifications, this, I only go through life one time, and if I don't serve myself, if I don't take care of myself, if I don't grab all the pleasure for myself, then I'm wasting my life. Advertisers are all in and through that. You get to do what you want to do. Carol and I were listening to some ads the other day, and we were just stunned at how self-centered. Do whatever you want to do. Our company will help you with whatever the product was. You get to do what you want. You get to have what you want. You get to be where you want to be. And although in each one of those little situations, you know, if you want a meal that tastes good, right? You want a phone that works, right? You want a vacation that you actually end up where you want to go. It's the thought, it's the repeated thought, do what you want, do what you want, do what you want. God says, don't do that. We'll get to that in a minute. Verse 9, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead, listen to this, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raises Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through the Spirit who dwells in you. This spiritual battle we have is very much in ourselves, and it's in our cooperation with God's word, His will, and welcoming His Spirit into our lives. Let's just continue. We'll just keep reading verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God who are sons of God. This is victory. This is standing in victory. When you reject your selfish desires, when you reject your self-first thinking, when you say, Father, your will be done. It's what we sang in the song, right, a little bit ago, in Jesus' prayer. Your will be done, not my will. Not even Jesus lived to serve himself, the scripture. Not even Jesus died to serve himself. Not my will, but yours be done, says Jesus. Now notice it says in verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit here? Being led by the Spirit isn't some sort of additional, miraculous, application of God's voice into our lives. It isn't turn left at the next light, being told by the Holy Spirit. It isn't get this job, move to this city. That isn't being led by the Spirit according to these scriptures. This being led by the Spirit is that daily obedience to his word, that daily reaching for righteousness and rejecting selfishness, rejecting sin, rejecting evil. That's led by the Spirit. It's a walk of faith. It's an obedience to the word. That's what being led by the Spirit here means. And now Galatians 5. Galatians 5. And we're going to continue the same thought as Paul explains it to the Galatian church in verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. What? I told you we'd get there. But if you are led, verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Verse 17 again, for the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit. This is a battle going on inside of ourselves. We want our anger to accomplish our will. We want our selfish ambition to accomplish our desires. We are angry with people, and therefore we're hostile to them. We welcome strife because I don't want that person in my life. Get them out of here. We're jealous, and we encourage our jealousy by feeding it. These are in opposition to one another. They are against the Spirit. In order to keep you, the Spirit is trying. Look at the end of verse 17 again. In order to keep you from doing what you wish or whatever you want. It's spelled out. We don't want to do whatever we want because we're trying to listen to God's word. We're trying to be people of God. That inner warfare is to stop me from doing what I want to do. In order to keep you, Robert, from doing what you want. That's quite a challenge. And obviously, if we can reorient our desires, if we can be truly hungering for righteousness, if we can be men and women, Lauren's been teaching us the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of it, especially on Wednesday nights, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. If we can be men and women who hunger and thirst for righteousness, obviously, in that aspect of what we want, God blesses us. But usually, our daily warfare is in, I don't want to do that. I don't want to call that person. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to settle that argument. That'll be too painful. I don't want. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do the other things. That daily struggle of selfish living, of self-centered living, of listening to the temptations around us to make it easier on us, to not be united as a church, to not be together as a church, to not be sacrificial with our lives, to give up our time, to give up our focus. In order to keep you from doing whatever you want. pretty amazing teaching. This is the inner warfare that we are struggling with. Verse 19 says, the deeds of the flesh are obvious. The deeds of the flesh are evident. They're obvious. And we just had this horrible list, leading again with sexual sins repeatedly. We have a world that thinks it's just fine to go ahead and be sexually intimate with whoever you want to be sexually intimate. And it's wrong. It's destroying people. It's destroying families. It's destroying relationships. It's destroying children. It's destroying societies. It's destructive. It's a lie. It's wrong. It doesn't work. It doesn't end up pleasing anybody. It's obviously horribly wrong. What works is committing our lives before God and man for the rest of our lives to one person. And then God says, don't stop being intimate. I want you always to be sexually active in your marriage. In fact, enjoy it. The marriage bed is holy, says the Bible. This spiritual warfare, so much of it happens inside of our own desires. What I want to look at, what I want with the pleasure I want to have, and when I want to have it, and I don't want to wait for it. That's a whole other set of issues. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's starting with the big ones first. There is nothing you can do walking on this life. There is nothing greater you can do with your life than love. The greatest thing, and God pours it out into your heart. There's nothing greater than love. Agape love, sacrificial, serving, caring, committed, patient, kind, giving, nurturing. It's so incredible. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, rejoice always, peace. God guarantees giving us peace. Kindness. We're kind. One of our neighbors put up a sign in their front yard, pounded it right, it's right in the corner. Every time you turn the corner, you see it. It says, be kind. I want to pull into their driveway and thank them for that. Be kind. Because we have another neighbor who puts some pretty ugly stuff in their yard. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And maybe not the toughest one on the list, but one of the toughest ones on the list. The last one in verse 23. Self-control. Gulp. Self-control. If we live by the Spirit, verse 25 of Galatians 5, if we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. And remember, this is what we read last week, finished our lesson with last week, but it's just so amazing. The Lord is faithful. God is always faithful. I'm not. I suspect maybe some of you struggle over being always faithful. But I'm not always faithful. God is. He will establish you. He will plant you. He will keep you. And he will guard you against the evil one. So in this spiritual warfare, much of the fighting is right in here. It's between your brain and your heart. It's all inside. It's all my desires fighting against what I see God's word teaching me. It's all my will and embracing the things that I want. More money. I want more time. I want more pleasure. I want more selfness. And God says, no, you don't, Robert. I guarantee it. You'll regret it. Yes, sir. Father, I only want what you want in my life. Let's pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you lay these things out so clearly for us. We know that you are always faithful. You are so grand and glorious and magnificent. The fact that you care for us so much, the fact that you care for us so much is beyond our understanding. Father, Satan attacks. He attacks us in our hearts. He attacks us in our lives. He attacks us in our homes. He attacks us in our connections with the world. He attacks us in entertainment. He attacks us in our money. He attacks us in our relationships. He knows our weaknesses and throws up things right in front of us to trip us up, Father. Guard us, please, against Satan. Keep him from us. Help us, Father, to shine your light all throughout our lives. Show us his lies, Father. Help us to resist him. Help us to flee from him. Help us to cling to one another and be the church you want us to be. Help us to never, ever, ever be satisfied with sin or division or broken hearts or hurt lives. Help us to be men and women who apply your love to everything we do. Help us, Father, in this warfare to see and know and be a lot smarter about standing in Christ and doing your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If there's any here this morning who are ready to come to Christ, you can follow the example of our two new brothers, our new brother and sister, and you can be baptized in Christ. If you have any other need, please come let us know while we stand in